back to season two of Through the Looking Glass. My name is Lavanya, and I started this podcast to talk about the unique millennial struggles, particularly ambitious South Asians face every day. My goal is to empower listeners, even in the smallest way possible, and improve your well-being. If you find my podcast and enjoying it, please take a minute to rate the show. It would really make a huge difference for a brand new show and lets me know that I'm doing a good job. If you want to know more about me behind the scenes and podcast clips, follow me on Instagram.
Today I have my friend Margarita with me. She was born and raised in Spain and came to America for university, and he's one of my MBA colleagues. So welcome, Marcos. How are you?
Thank you for having me, Lavanya. Very excited to be doing this.
So before people don't know you, tell us a little bit about yourself, your background.
Yeah, sure. So my name's Marcos Alito, as you introduced me. I was born and raised in Madrid, Spain. I moved to the U.S. when I was 16 years old. I took part of on this exchange student program. Yeah, when I was only 16. And you get to pick a country, but you don't pick the state to which they send you. So I got really lucky and they sent me to Anchorage, Alaska. Yeah, where I studied my junior year of high school. And then after that, I decided that I wanted to pursue staying here in America and came down to California where I graduated high school. And then stayed for college. I went to school in Riverside. I went to California Baptist University, where I studied civil engineering.
Right. Yeah, I did mean you had an engineering degree.
Yeah.
So I want to go back to your initial inception of wanting to come here for education and stuff like that. Was that something that was like a whim, or did your parents encourage you to go abroad for education? What did they feel about it?
It actually just came out of me. I really wanted to experience something different and immerse myself in a different culture. I'd always been really attracted to the States, I think, just through the media and like what we're told since we're little, growing up in Europe about the US. It just makes it very enticing. And I also really wanted to learn English, because at the time, I mean, my English level was very minimal.
It was your second language.
So. Yeah, yeah. Well, not even. Like, I just took a few classes. So I learned about this program through some family members that had done it before, and you know, decided that why not just try it, like go abroad for a year and see how I feel. Which, you know, at the time was really scary because I was a child. And it was really hard on my family, especially just because, you know, I've been home my whole life, and for my parents to just let me move across the globe, go live with a different family, and you know, be far from home for so long, it was a little tough, but it, you know, ultimately it turned out to be a great opportunity, and I'm really happy that I did it.
So how did your family feel about you moving away when you were 16? Were they, you know, initially shocked, or were they supportive right away?
They were very supportive. They knew that it was something that I wanted to do, and they didn't want to stop me. They saw it as a good opportunity for me too. They never really thought that it would mean me leaving basically forever, because I never really went back other than to go on vacation and visit family. Like, I basically stayed in the U.S. after that.
Yeah.
And I feel like deep inside they still hope that I'll come back eventually, and who knows, I might. So yeah, I think it was a little scary for them too, but ultimately they were very supportive.
So the usually for exchange would be like 1 year, right, in the junior year, but it sounds like you stayed for the senior year too.
Right. So it was supposed to be just 1 year. I was supposed to go back to Spain, graduate high school out there, go to college in Spain, and, you know, live my Spanish life. But because I think I enjoyed it so much, and I still felt this thing within me that I wanted to stay here and pursue like college and my career here, I convinced my parents to let me do a second year of high school here, and ended up staying.
That was also in Alaska?
No, so my second year was in Northern California. I was in this little town called Yuba City, also with a host family.
So cool. Tell me about like your like education in Spain. Like, do you feel like school there was different than America?
Yeah, totally. I think the Spanish education system is completely different. In Spain, the academia just felt a lot tougher in the sense that it was a lot more memorizing, and I don't know, like it just required a lot more
studying
than what I felt, you know, you needed to do here. What I really liked about the American system is that it felt very hands-on, and that you could choose your own classes, you could kind of like create your own path, right? Whereas in Spain, it's a more set, these are the classes you have to take, everyone takes the same courses, there's not as much room for you deciding what you want to do with your life, if that makes sense. So to me, that felt like the main difference, but I also felt like the Spanish system was a little bit, or a lot more rigorous than the American system in terms of difficulty.
So that's actually really funny, because I kind of did the opposite of what you're saying. I went back to India my junior year, and I like have family there, right? So I just enrolled in a school there. And I mean, it was a really cool experience, but when I came back to America for my senior year, it just kind of happened to work out that way. But it makes me feel like, I don't know, grateful that I got the experience in the first place, because mm-hmm. that's when I really connected with the culture and like learned a lot more about my family and all those things. So I don't know, I feel like it's kind of cool looking at the opposite of each other.
Yeah, but I mean, essentially same experience, right? Just going to a country that's maybe not foreign to you, but you hadn't lived in before and immersed yourself in, you know, their day-to-day and their school system and all of that. So. Yeah.
Do you feel like when you were in high school, were kids nice to you? Like, did you feel culture shock?
It was interesting. So, yeah, for the most part, I feel like everyone was very nice. I think early on, I found a good community of other international students. I wasn't the only one. So that really helped, because I felt like we were all going through the same, maybe cultural shocks or experiences. And that became my core group of friends when I was in Alaska. But for the most part, I felt like people there were super welcoming. Everyone just wanted to get to know me and meet someone from a different country that had different experiences. Right. And, you know, reflecting back on it, I'm thankful that I landed there. It was a very small town, very quote unquote American. Like I got the full experience of what it's like to be in small town US, which also helped with like learning English and, I don't know, understanding more the way that things work. And then coming down here to California, I mean, it's way more diverse, a lot more Spanish-speaking people, which, you know, that's my first language. So I feel like if I would have come here from the very beginning, maybe I would have not been able to immerse myself as well, or like learn the language the way that I did.
I mean, I feel like the flip side of it is in Alaska, if you didn't have a lot of people who spoke Spanish, or do you feel like there was no discrimination at that point, or you didn't really experience that yourself?
Personally, I didn't. And I'm just speaking for myself. Mm-hmm. I think because I had that community of other exchange students and everyone was just so welcoming, I never felt discriminated because of my background or being from Spain. But yeah, overall, it was just a really good experience, to be honest.
That's good. I mean, I feel like it sounds like you found your community and your tribe, both when you were in high school and when you were in university. So,
yeah, and very similar experience when I went to college. There were a lot of other international kids from Spain, France, Germany, even the UK, and we kind of just like all ganged up together and hung out a lot. But I mean, I still had a lot of, you know, American friends and then people from all sorts of different backgrounds. And I think that's a really beautiful thing about Southern California is that, you know, everyone comes from such a different place, but then we all come together and we're able to thrive. And that's something that I didn't get to experience so much growing up in Spain. And coming here, it wasn't a cultural shock, but it was a like beautiful thing to see and that I really appreciate about living in the city and in the state.
Do you feel like, I mean, it's been quite a number of years since then, the admission of college, and you've been working and around the MBA program together. Do you feel like throughout these years, you thought about going back to Spain, or do you feel like you feel more at home in America?
So I go back and forth. I mean, I've been reflecting on this quite a bit. I've lived most of my adult life in the US.
Yeah.
So now this place feels like home to me. And it's funny because I'll go back to Spain and I mean, I see my family, my friends, and I love it. But something about it now feels a little bit, not foreign, but like different, just because I haven't lived there for like 11 years now. So it's interesting. I mean, I'm sure it's something that I would, you know, get over if I was ever to relocate back to Madrid or Spain in general. But definitely an interesting feeling to go back to your home country and feel like you're, you know, an outsider, if that makes sense. And then in terms of ever moving back, I mean, the thought does cross my head quite often. My whole family's there, right? And especially seeing my parents getting older, my grandparents getting older, you know, it's something to definitely consider. However, I still feel like I haven't finished my American chapter per se. Something that I really love about being here is that I feel like there's a lot of opportunity and room for growth, and I feel like that's a little bit more limited in Europe specifically. So I don't know, I'm really open to wherever, you know, life takes me, and just hoping to graduate this MBA program soon.
I think for me, because my parents live in America, I don't feel like, you know, I want to move back to India or something at this point. But I still have like most of my extended family back in India, and I try to visit, but I feel like over the years I've visited like less and less, and like the connection is just less overall because I'm a lot closer to my American community.
Yeah.
But I mean, one of the things that you said about parents getting older, I want to be potentially closer in America to my parents because they do live back in Ohio, so it's pretty much out of the country, right? So I think that's something that I would want to change, but not necessarily you know, moving to another country. But then I think about that too, because sometimes I think about maybe life is like better in like Canada or like Europe, or like, you know, maybe I should move there.
Yeah.
I don't know, like having lived in both countries, if you have an opinion on quality of life. I think your point about, you know, business opportunity in America is definitely a lot higher than maybe Spain or other European countries. But in terms of other aspects, do you feel like Spain's better?
So, I mean, wherever you go, you kind of like give and take, right? I definitely think that the overall quality of life in Spain is higher than it is here in the US. The culture is a lot more laid back. I think that it's a lot easier to get by. There's a better social system to help people make sure that they're okay. It feels safer, cleaner, and overall, like the day-to-day, I do think is better. So, again, you give and take, you give up those like maybe opportunities that you could find here in the US, and living in Spain, you can have a very comfortable, beautiful life. It just kind of depends on what your priorities are. I think from a very early age, I've been very ambitious, and that's kind of what drove me here and where I am. But like, you know, things may change and I might get tired and want to just go chill by the beach in Spain. Like, who knows? But I think both are beautiful countries. They each have a lot to offer. Spanish born and raised, so I love my country. So you never know where life is going to take you.
I think that's a really wise answer.
Yeah.
No, you never know where it's going to take you. But that kind of, you know, is a good segue into why you got your MBA.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a story behind why, or has it evolved?
It keeps evolving. So when I graduated my undergrad in civil engineering, I went to work for a heavy civil general contractor, working on building freeways and water treatment plants and, you know, high, heavy infrastructure sorts of projects.
Yeah.
And I quickly realized that that wasn't really my passion, and went to work for a different contractor in the commercial sector, focusing mainly on high-end hospitality and retail and some residential. And I really fell in love with that. I really liked the working within the built environment and creating beautiful spaces and being part of those projects. But being on the contractor end, I realized that I wanted to be on the business side of things.
Right.
And I figured that an MBA would be broad enough to help me get to that end of the industry. Luckily, like early on when I joined the program, I got hired at TikTok, and, you know, I now get to do what I actually wanted to do. I thought an MBA was a good way to pursue that.
I feel like an MBA is one of those degrees where you're never going to feel like it was a waste, because no matter what phase of your career that you're in, you're going to have some way of applying those skills, and maybe it even works to your benefit, that you know, you got it in your 20s versus your 30s, it just gives you like that boost in your career a little bit. And that's probably why a lot of people do it too.
Yeah.
Do you feel like your current role is what you want right now? Or do you have like an aspirational role that you're looking for?
You know, day by day. I love my role. I love what I do. So I'm a project manager for the real estate arm of TikTok. Basically, what we do is look for new offices and then work on the design and construction of those spaces. So I get to do a lot of business things, like work on, you know, lease negotiations, real estate strategy, site sourcing, and things like that. But then it also has a really cool creative aspect to it, you know, working with these, you know, corn shell blank buildings that are sort of like blank canvases that we get to design to work with really cool architects and contractors and designers to bring to life. And I really love that combo of both the business strategy side, but also with a creative twist. And that's why I kind of fell in love with this industry. In terms of next steps, I see myself growing within this sector. I don't know where life will take me, but I'm also really interested in real estate development in general. As I mentioned earlier, I think the built environment is such a fascinating thing. Coming from Europe and, you know, being used to like the way cities work there, and then coming here, especially to LA, and living in such a car-centric, you know, differently built sort of city, it's kind of shocking. And I'd love to one day be able to create, you know, beautiful spaces and better cities and improve, you know, people's lives through real estate and have a real impact.
No, that's really cool. I'm glad you know, have a vision, because sometimes I feel like I don't have a vision for my future. So it is fun to hear what other people think and how they come up with, you know, what they want to do. But at the same time, I feel like, you know, what you said about taking it one step at a time is something that I also try to do.
Yeah.
You don't have to have a plan that's too far ahead in the future. Because I've caught myself planning to do certain things, you know, a few years down the road. And then you just completely change your mind, you know, 3 years into the future or something. So, I don't know. I don't think 5 year plans are...
Yeah, no, and listen, I say this today, I could wake up tomorrow and be like, hey, like, I want to go into marketing. I don't know.
6 years ago when we met, so...
There you go. So I guess I'm sticking to it. I'm very similar to you in that sense. I feel like I've always been a planner. Ever since I was little, like, I wanted to go to high school in the U.S. I wanted to graduate here, and then I wanted to find a job. All these things, I've always had like a big plan for myself. And again, this is something I've been reflecting on, and it's just given me a lot of anxiety. And I have come to accept that you can only plan so far, and that you kind of have to take life a little bit more day by day. So I've been trying to apply that to myself. Not the most successful at it, but you know, like, you never know what's going to happen tomorrow. You never know what next week is going to look like. Like, the older I get, the crazier life gets, and the more changes that we experience within short time frames.
Right.
So, you know, I'm just trying to focus on the present a lot more and take things a little bit more day by day and just enjoy the ride.
Right, right. No, that's amazing advice, I would say. Because, I mean, it is hard to plan for the future in some ways. Because, mm-hmm. like you said, we're both planners. But at the same time, I think get caught up in the fact that I want to do multiple different things. You know, one of those things being podcasting, and then I have an engineering career, and then I have an idea for a business. So it's kind of like there's only so many places that I can be at one time. So I have to catch myself to have realistic goals and have kind of shorter term pieces of each of those, you know, three things that I'm pursuing that I can focus on, and then have that be what I do and see if my experimentation is working out, and then I can kind of make adjustments like 3 months into the future or whatever, then figure out the next phase. But that's also hard to do because sometimes I have to catch myself and I'm trying to do too many things at the same time. And even this year, I switched to doing podcast episodes every other week just because it was just too much to try to do like 4 episodes in a month.
Mm-hmm.
And every other week just was so much more manageable because I still, you know, work full time and have school. And everything else, right?
So yeah, you do a lot.
Like, works for you, but sometimes, you know, it just kind of makes you feel insane.
Yeah, and a lot of it is just trial and error and like figuring out what works for you, what pace you're willing to take, and like what makes you comfortable. So that's why I'm saying that, you know, having a more day-to-day approach to things, right, and like maybe not putting so many crazy expectations on yourself, can be beneficial. I mean, of course, a plan is important, and of course, you kind of need to have an idea of where you're headed. But I think sometimes we just forget to enjoy the ride.
Yeah.
And that is just too sad because we have a lot of amazing things going on. So
yeah,
that's just been a big takeaway for me in the past year.
What about you? I mean, I've done gratitude journals for, you know, many years, but I would do kind of sporadically. But recently, I'm kind of doing it every day if I could, you know, help it. And I've been kind of on a good streak with that. And honestly, it makes a huge difference because most of the time, I don't slow down to think about what are things that I'm, you know, really grateful for right now, and what am I really enjoying at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And you're just kind of worried about like the next thing, or at least like I am. I'm like, person who's worried about like the next thing, and I would start getting anxious about it and stuff. But what you said about just trying to tune into the present day is so important. And I think it's so hard for a lot of people, especially me. But
no, I get it. For me too. Trust me. Like, I'm always worried about what's next. And it's happened to me that I've been on vacations even. And just being like, okay, well, I need to plan the next one. And like, you like don't even enjoy what you're doing because you're just so focused on like the next thing, you know? And I mean, I know that's so random, but like just a side topic, it's we really need to work on enjoying the present. And not being too crazy about the future or too hard on ourselves even.
Right.
I feel like a lot of our peers and people our age, like we're constantly comparing ourselves and constantly putting all this pressure on ourselves when really we're doing great. And that just takes away from the enjoyment of our own achievements. And we just have to be a little bit more proud about what we do and what we've become, and just enjoy the present.
I'm proud of you.
Thanks. Proud of you.
So, because, you know, you growing up in Spain, I'm sure you had a lot of great friendships there, and even throughout your high school experience in America and undergrad in California, do you feel like there's different friendships that you've had? Have you kept in touch with a lot of friends?
Yeah, it's a funny question, actually. I was at dinner with my friend from LA last night, and my friend from Spain called me, and he was asking me, like, oh, how do you, like, know this person? And I was like, you know what, like, I am still very close with people that I grew up with in Spain. And even though we, like, don't see each other often, we do keep in touch, and we do, like, try to make it a point to hang out. And I would say that some of my closest friends are probably still from high school. And we all live in different cities. Some even live in different countries, but I'm very grateful for them, and I'm very happy that, you know, through the years and through all these experiences, I've been able to keep those friendships. And then a lot of my other friends are from just undergrad or from, you know, living here in LA and the MBA program, such as you, of course. But yeah, I don't know, I'm not like a huge, like, massive group of friends kind of person. I've always been very, like, close friends. So I do keep my circle small, but the friends that I do have, I feel like are like family to me almost. And I just feel really close to them, and I'm very grateful for them in my life.
Right. I think I'm like that too. I think I only have like one friend from high school years that I've still kept in touch with, but a lot of my like old and really close friendships were from undergrad and like that period of time. And of course, like, you know, we have like friends that I have in LA or through the MBA program and stuff like that. But there's always a few people that if I know I resonate with them, mm-hmm. and we have a value-based friendship, those are the people that put the effort into staying in touch with. But even after we, you know, move to different cities or countries, even trying to keep in touch and kind of being, I guess, involved in their life in some ways because you want to continue that friendship. And it's a hard thing to do because a lot of people have like noticed or they've, you know, mentioned that they tend to like lose friendships and people move away.
Mm-hmm.
Personally, for me, that hasn't always been the case. Or at least with the people that I guess equally try on their end. And I think usually you have a really great connection. You both try to keep in touch.
Yeah.
I think that's like the most important thing.
Yeah. And I mean, in this day and age where people move constantly, I think it's just so important to like erase that barrier of like, if you live in a different city or even a different country, like our friendship is gonna fade away. To me, it's always been a fear because going to college here, but being from Spain and like moving to different cities, even within California, you're not always around your closest, deepest friends. But I feel like, as you mentioned, if that connection is truly real, like it's not really going to go away if they move away. And it's not been the case for me, and I'm, you know, knock on wood.
Who is your first best friend?
My first best friend that I'm still in touch with?
Exactly.
Probably from when I was very, very little, growing up in Madrid. Her name was Claudia. I unfortunately fell out of touch because, you know, back when we were friends, phones weren't even a thing. Or, like, at least I didn't have one. But I remember we were really, really close for many years. And then I moved away to a different city in Spain. And sadly, we stopped being, we lost connection. But I remember her fondly as, like, one of, like my first, like, very close best friend. And then, and this day, my friend David, who actually just moved to Australia, we've been friends since, you know, we were little back in Madrid as well. Maybe not as little as the other girl that I mentioned. We talk basically, maybe not every day, but every other day, and really keep in touch. He was just out here in LA about a month ago. I'm hoping to visit him soon. Yeah, and he's become like my brother almost. Like we're really close, and I just, you know, really cherish that friendship.
I can't believe I don't know this, but do you have any siblings?
I have one. I have one younger brother. He lives in Madrid. He is 6 years younger. The sad thing is that when I moved away, he was still very, very young when I moved to Alaska. So I feel like we never really got that really good bonding time. And we're trying to make up for it now. I mean, I love my brother. And we're getting closer. But it was just tough because he was, you know, in Spain, he was like 9, 10 years old, and I was in a whole nother country. So it was difficult to like create that connection back then. But I mean, family's family, they're always going to be there and forever going to be there for him. And as we're getting older, we're definitely getting a lot closer.
Yeah. And I think, you know, with siblings, when you do become older, it becomes like easier to connect because once you're like past a certain age and you're not a kid or like in high school or even like, you know, undergrad and stuff, but you start becoming an adult, then the gap between like siblings closes a lot. At least I've noticed that. I mean, I didn't have like much of an age difference with my sister, but I know a lot of people who had siblings with an age gap, but they became closer in their 20s.
Yeah, and I think the age gap kind of like diminishes as you get older. Like I remember like growing up, he was always like my baby brother. Like he was like in such a different place in life at all times. And now that we're both in our 20s, basically it's like that gap is not really there so much anymore. I mean still 6 years, but I feel like we can relate to each other a lot more, which makes things a lot easier.
It's also cool to like remember your younger brother throughout like his childhood and stuff. Because for my sister, who is like under 2 years in our age gap, I don't remember like her as a child. I remember like us being children together and like my limited memory of it. So it's different. Like there's not, we more have, I think they have more like a twin energy than older sister, younger sister energy.
Yeah.
But I've always wanted a younger brother because I feel like it would be fun to have like just a baby in the family that you know kind of just worships you, but maybe that's not the case. All right, so we both have graduation coming up, but what are you most looking forward to?
Being done. Just being done, not having to worry about going to campus every Monday and Wednesday night. It's like this huge weight on me because like you go to work at 8, 9 a.m. And by the time you're done, you don't get to go home and relax. You get to drive over to USC and sit through a lecture for 3.5 hours, which, you know,
they're by choice.
They're by choice, and I'm glad I'm doing it, but I'm kind of looking forward to getting that time back. I'm sure I'll quickly find another way to fill my time because, again, we're anxious, planning sort of people.
Ambitious, too. I'm sure there'll be some other
projects. Yeah. And I guess that's why I'm excited, too, about, like, being able to pursue other things.
Like, I got used to the idea or, like, it became a part of our lives because we've been doing this for so long, doing it part-time, that my brain has forgotten how much time it takes up. So it's going to be this, like, adjustment period of, like, wait, what am I doing?
I feel guilty for a little while. Like, wait, do I really, like, just get to sit down and relax on a Monday night? Like,
important to us.
It is. And, you know, like, it'll feel weird for a while, but I'm definitely looking forward to it. But mostly, I think what I mentioned is being able to pursue other things
right. That
I don't really have the time for right now.
Well, I'm excited to see.
Yeah.
You do.
Me too. I mean, I don't know what it's going to be or look like, but.
I have one last question before we wrap up the episode.
Okay.
What advice would you give to your 16-year-old self?
I've been very on this, like, day-by-day sort of grind of just doing a little less planning, being a little less stressed about what the future holds, because you really have no way to control that, and just letting life, like, guide you through what's meant to be for you.
I love that. That's a great note. You should all let the best things come into our lives and just be happy and just content, but also looking forward to the next chapter. Do you have any last thoughts or advice you want to share?
No, I mean, this was very enjoyable. Thank you for making it feel so comfortable.